So let's begin Psalm 11 here, second section of my commentaries, if you're reading along with me with my notes. The Lord trieth the righteous, and what this should mean. Let's begin by examining the Hebrew word there, like we often do. This is Strong's H-974, Bakhan, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. It means basically to test, and it's especially a test of metals, you know, like you would with iron or steel or, you know, copper, that kind of thing. You would test it to make sure that it's of a certain quality, right? That's basically what this word means, to test the metal of the righteousness, of the righteous. So you're testing the purity of this metal. This could be the individual that you're testing the purity of, or the corporate body here you're testing the purity of. You're testing the consistency, right? And the cohesion of. Think of it as an individual, the consistency and cohesion of the individual, or the consistency and cohesion of the corporate body. That's being tested, it's being examined, it's being proven by God. Think of this test of the metal, the strength of the metal, the resiliency of the metal, right? Think of that in terms of both the individual and again the corporate body. This is the examination, to examine in order to prove the righteous. That might mean to, you know, make them stand out, you know, stand apart from, okay? Like in a foundry, a metal foundry, where they put in the mineral right there, the rock and the mineral there, and they boil it down and separate the dross from the metal. That's the idea behind this. Now, most Christians today do not see their faith as something God would be examining in order to prove. Right? Most Christians today don't see their faith as something undergoing a process of being in a fiery furnace, smelting down precious ore. In Ezekiel 22:18, Ezekiel says, "Son of man, the house of Israel has become is to me become dross." This is the Lord speaking. "Son of man, the house of Israel to me has become dross. They are brass and tin and iron and lead. In the midst of the furnace, they are even the dross of silver." 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. Peter writes his readers that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than the gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So in one sense, you have both the righteous and the unrighteous being put into one pot, right? But because of the process of that pot, then one stands out from the other. And that's what this proving is. So that's how we can get to this verse in Psalms 11:4, that says, "The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try." That's that testing. That's that proving right there. That's examining as if it was metal. "The children of men." So that's all encompassing. That's everyone, right? But it's only the righteous, for the sake of their Lord, that are being commanded to do something glorifying about that or in this process. Our command is not to fight against being tested. Our command is to fight this wickedness and to overcome. It is to prove the divine words and the abilities of our Lord in this lifetime as being divine and as being infallible and as being right. Peter writes in his first epistle, chapter 4, starting at verse 12. He says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of the Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be received, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you." On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. You see, the saints of old are echoing the same words as David here. Different words, different pictures, same meaning, right? So surely, with all these different testimonies, with all these different explanations of what is going on, surely we all know this to be biblical truth, yet we all, in our own various ways, back off from putting our faith fully forward publicly for this very same reason, because of the trial, because of the smelting pot, right? It's similar, in a way, to, let's take the example of a veteran of war, right? We have plenty of them here in the United States. Veterans that have seen the front line, they've seen action, and perhaps they've been wounded, they have the scars, maybe they even have the medals to show it, right? And, you know, their story, their testimony, they're at the club or they're at the church or the synagogue or wherever they might be, listening to that same type of veteran that, you know, wasn't on the front lines, right? And all these bold, glorious, naive kind of recollections of that veteran that hasn't seen the action, but from afar, that hasn't been there, but to a lesser degree, right? So are many of our lesser Christian accounts and testimonies tolerated by the truly embattled saints that are standing firm and on the front lines here. You know? We go through all this fluffy language about all the trials that we're going through, you know. Boy, it was a challenging day at work, and boy, this guy cut me off on the interstate, and the devil's just coming at me, man. You know? That's our story. That's our testimony, right? That's the battle that we're facing. And these guys are just, I mean, physically they're not shaking their heads, but inside they're just shaking their heads and saying, that's the battle line that you're on? That's as far as you've come out into the battlefield? You're still at the guy cutting you off on the interstate section of this, you know? I mean, when you think of it in those terms, the guys that are really fighting, the guys that are really taking the shots, shots coming at them from every direction, spiritually, in spiritual warfare with spiritual enemies of our Lord. Right? You know, the humbling thing about this, with these veterans that you talk to, the battle-tested vet, especially the battle-tested vet, he's the one that brings us to tears, confessing himself that he should have done more, that he could have done better. You know, that perhaps he left the best part of that warrior spirit back there in the tent because of his fear. Doesn't that bring you to tears, man? We are all to be proven just as metal is proven there at the metal foundry. I fear for us today, without this warrior spirit, how this soul-searching examination is going to be turning out. Note now, I'm not questioning our salvation. No, this is speaking directly to our willingness towards frontline enlistment and work. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting at verse 11, Paul writes to the Corinthians, "For other foundation no man can lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Foundation. This is what we're talking about. If the foundation be destroyed, what's the foundation? The foundation's Christ. For other foundation can no man lay than it is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so by fire.